Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Buckhead, Atlanta, it's time for Simply Buckhead Radio with your host, publisher, and founder, Joanne Hayes.
Well, good afternoon, Ryan. Great to have you in the studio with us today, engineering the show, and looking forward to this wonderful group of guests.
Yes, good afternoon. It's a room full of wonderful people, and I'm sure the show is going to be exciting.
Yes, and as we're all getting ready for the holidays, we really appreciate all of you folks taking the time out to be with us, and we're going to introduce these lovely folks. But as usual, we'd like to start our show just talking a little bit about Simply Buckhead Magazine, what we do, who we are. For those of you who know us in the Buckhead market, we publish 24,000 copies 8 times a year, distributing in 250 locations in the Buckhead Brookhaven market. We are the only magazine catering specifically to this demographic here.
The only one.
The only one solely devoted to this specific market.
Buckhead, lifestyle, fashion, everything Buckhead.
Yes, and dining and entertainment and philanthropy and all kinds of great art things going on in the community. And we just do it all, and I think we do it the best.
You certainly do.
Well, thank you. So we're going to get into our guests right now. We've got 5 folks in the studio with us today. And first of all, we'd like to welcome Ashley Harris, who is the owner and entrepreneur who began Bark Fifth Avenue, which is an online luxury dog boutique. Welcome, Ashley.
Good afternoon.
And Ashley is also a model with Click Models, our friend Brandon Lewis,
yes,
and Joy Purvis. So shout out to those folks today as well. We also have with us today Rusha Brown, who I'm proud to say is a friend of ours as well. And she has 2 companies. One is YBE and the other is the WPBA. And we'll be explaining a little bit more as we get into Rusha's interview. Welcome, Rusha.
Thank you for having me.
We also have Diedrich Thomas, the owner and entrepreneur and founder of Hideaki Bespoke. Am I saying that correctly?
Correct.
Oh, good, because I always get that wrong. Welcome, Diedrich.
Thank you.
Now, we're going to also start today with our guests from Ritz-Carlton. And today we have 2 folks from there. We're so excited to have Linda Torres, the sommelier, and I'm hoping I'm saying that right. I always have to ask for instructions on that. And we also have Jason Sanders, who's the director of food and beverage for the Ritz-Carlton. Welcome to both of you.
Good afternoon.
Great to have you today. And again, we really appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule. This is the holidays. Everybody's shopping and busy and, you know, thinking about what's going to happen 2 weeks from now. Me, I have no idea. So we're very happy to have you in here. Linda, you've been featured before in our magazine as one of our tastemakers.
Yes, I've been on, I think, once or twice.
Yeah, it was very, very exciting to have her on. And Ritz-Carlton has been very loyal to our publication. And we're very, very grateful for the friendship and the business relationship we've had with you folks over the last 3 years. So, again, shout out to the folks at Ritz-Carlton. And I want to read a little bit about Linda's bio and then get into some of the questions. She selects the wines poured throughout the hotel, from the cafe, the lobby lounge, the wine bar and club lounge, to wedding receptions and parties. She demonstrates a masterful talent for pairing wines with the modern American cuisine and infuses the list of wines by the glass with delightfully unexpected items. She's expertise and polished style, which is very evident in her management of the hotel's wine cellar, which I have been told, and it is renowned for more than a quarter century. That's what we wrote about with Linda. So let's start with Linda. What kind of holiday wines, do you suggest for holiday cocktail parties, which, of course, are what's going on right now?
I mean, you can never go wrong with champagne or bubbles, any type. It doesn't have to be champagne. It can be cava. It can be Prosecco. It can be Frangiacorta from Italy. It could be anything. But you always have to have a bottle of bubbles if you're celebrating the holidays.
Absolutely. There's always at least a selection of 4 or 5 of those in my refrigerator or my wine rack at any time.
Nice. Very nice.
Good.
And how about brands? Do you have any specific brands of champagne you recommend?
I typically go for a smaller producer style champagne, so Aubrey or Pierre Peters, Henri Giraud. There's a lot of different smaller production champagnes that are in the market at retail stores as well as available at the Ritz.
That's way off the charts. Usually it's, you know, Veuve Clicquot or Dom or something else,
right.
But you're naming things for our audience that I'm sure they might not have heard before.
Well, we have Dom and Veuve Clicquot and and all of, you know, all of the regular placements as well at the Ritz. So everything is represented there for people to buy.
I like that.
Yep.
Now, you've mentioned things that I love. Cava is a favorite in my household, and I discovered that after having a love for Prosecco and then felt that was a little too sweet for my taste and had no idea about cava, and that's what I've been drinking the last 2 years.
Cava is, I think it's starting to make a little bit of a comeback. Prosecco kind of took over for the last at least 2 to 3 years, if not longer. For house pours, sparkling, you know, kind of, it's very, very prevalent in the city. But there are a lot of producers that are starting to come out with drier style Proseccos to kind of compete, you know, compete with cava and all of that.
Yeah, so that's a dilemma because cava, from what I understand, is a Spanish grape. Correct. Am I right?
It's a Spanish sparkling.
Yeah. And I do know this much about champagne. It's not champagne unless it's actually from the Champagne region of France. Everything else is sparkling.
Right. Mm-hmm. But it's the same with cava and Prosecco. It's only cava or Prosecco if it comes from those certain places. You can't call it that from anywhere else. It has to be grown there.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, see, I have educated myself just a little bit on this. I think if you have a little bit of knowledge, you can be really dangerous. So
true.
I like to have a little bit of that kind of thing
dangerous
going on.
Dangerous for your pocketbook.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, can you guys tell us, let's maybe ask Jason this question, what kind of holiday specials are going on at the Ritz this season in Buckhead?
We start planning this in the middle of the summer and release our calendar at the beginning of October, but it's on several fronts, I suppose. We have our large holiday buffets. The holidays here are kind of framed by Thanksgiving and Christmas. I mean, massive buffets are really a lot of fun. But then throughout that space in between, we have Teddy Bear Tea, which is every Sunday, and it really is focused towards like small children. We have Mrs. Claus come in, tell stories. There are teddy bears everywhere. It's a lot of fun. For a little bit more mature guest, I suppose, we have Tea with Santa, which is still geared towards children, but not necessarily, you know.
I'm sure you see a lot of 40 and 50 year olds there too, right?
You know what's funny is we've got these great traditions that have built up over the years. So we have people who are, you know, bringing their grandchildren who actually came to us as children 30 years ago for tea with Santa. And so it really becomes a holiday tradition every year. And we get to see a lot of these families grow up over time, which is, it's really neat. We develop this great relationship with those guests.
That's a lot of fun. Yeah. The repeat business is great. And then you see, like you said, those folks who've been coming for years and all of a sudden there's babies and grandkids. And
exactly.
It is a holiday tradition. And I did mention before, but Jason is the director of food and beverage for the Ritz-Carlton Buckhead. And I'm not really sure that people realize the scope of that kind of a position in a hotel, you know, that's got a great brand, and there's so many aspects. You know, we commented on the different areas where Linda is responsible for the wine, and with all those different entities, how does that work for you with the food? You have to make decisions for all those same places?
Well, essentially, if you can eat it or drink it in the hotel, it falls under me, and I work hand in hand with the executive chef, and together we run all aspects of food and beverage in the hotel. So where Linda focuses solely on beverage, I also have, obviously, all the food menus, all the restaurants are roll up under me, and then all of the large events. So our event planning team as well is part of my operation.
What kind of food trends do you see during this particular season? You know, obviously, people are coming for the buffets for the specific holidays, but they're coming in to dine, and people are here to, you know, spend a few days, maybe shop in Buckhead and, you know, do things with their families. But are there traditional sort of menu changes you make for this particular time of year?
Well, we really change our menu seasonally. It's always kind of the most fun time this time of the year because we roll out things that we become known for. We brought this box of cookies here that's one of our pastry chef's specialties. It's a chocolate peppermint cookie.
Oh, yum. You just hit the sweet spot.
they're wonderful.
Right?
They're,
I did the peppermint cupcake last week. That was my spot, so.
Linda carried these into the building and didn't want to give them away.
Yeah, I saw that. I did see that.
But we have seasonal specialties that we roll out between Thanksgiving and Christmas that, you know, we have hot chocolate and apple cider in our main lobby. The hot chocolate assumes various flavors over the time. We have peppermint hot chocolate and dark hot chocolate. And
you have to stop saying peppermint hot chocolate. Anything with peppermint
one.
And chocolate, you have to stop now. Linda, how about let's come back to you. So Jason is in charge of the actual meals and all the food. What kind of wines do you recommend for the holiday meals besides the Prosecco? Or is there anything else that's in there that's not sparkling or bubbly?
Sparkling. No. Does
that apply to desserts as well?
Yes.
Okay.
Definitely. Depending on, again, the dryness factor of the sparkling. But for meals, especially Thanksgiving and Christmas, I always recommend kind of lighter style reds because there's so many different, you know, dishes that are up for grabs whenever you're at your friend's house or you're at your family's house, or you want something that's going to kind of go with everything. So I tend to stick to like Pinot Noirs or Beaujolais, Gamay sort of based wines from France, things that are just a little bit lighter in style, less oak integration, so that they can pair well with everything that you're eating.
And the flavors of the food, Jason, very important, tend to stand out with the wine choices that Linda makes. That's what makes you guys a great team.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of parties going on over the course of the next few weeks, I should say maybe 4 or 5 weeks. What would you suggest as wine for a hostess gift? I never go to anybody's house without having something in my hand. What do you recommend?
Without having a bottle of wine?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's so many good choices. I think...
Sparkling.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can't go wrong, you know, taking champagne or bubbles, obviously, for a gift. You know, more neutral style whites, maybe. There's all kinds of fun sort of, you know, like a Grüner Veltliner from Austria that doesn't have a lot of oak integration again on it that could go with a lot of different meals, you know, Sancerre or Sauvignon Blanc from
Love
France.
Sancerre.
That would be a good choice to take for a present, you know, Pinot Noir, Gamay.
You can see where my tastes are, though.
Right.
Very dry. Dry and bubbly is good, and dry and white is good.
Well, and I feel like I keep...
And dry and red.
Yeah. I keep saying the same thing over, so you can tell what my favorites are.
I know. Yeah. I know. I love it. But you're mentioning things that, again, are not the typical wines that somebody would go into a wine shop and buy their standard bottle of wine that they'd normally do. It's great to try new things and educate yourself, and I think it's one of those things that you have to almost have a love for it and a hobby and a passion for it to want to learn a little bit more.
Definitely.
Can you guys tell us what's going on for New Year's?
This year we have Nick Longo has put together his New Year's orchestra. He's playing with us. It starts at 9 o'clock on New Year's Eve and goes until typically 1 or 2 when the crowd starts to thin out. But
I hope the crowd thins out and goes upstairs to a room and they're not driving home or they're using Uber. They must be so busy that night.
Oh, extremely. The hotel is absolutely packed that night, and it's standing room only throughout the lobby and lobby lounge area. I mean, we have people sitting on every surface they can find at sometimes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I could put twice as many chairs in that space if I had the room, and we would fill it all.
Wow.
Yeah,
maybe you can
really
spill it out to the, you know, the pull up for the cars where the valet is.
It's been known to do
have
that.
Have people standing there. How about the hotel? How's it decorated inside right now?
Over the top. it's actually, that's one of my favorite transformations for the hotel. It starts really the night before Thanksgiving. We start clearing out a lot of the furniture in the lobby and throughout the restaurant. We set up just for one day Thanksgiving decor for the big buffet. And then that night at midnight, it all gets broken down and Christmas decor goes up. And by 8 o'clock in the morning, the day after Thanksgiving, we have Christmas decor throughout the lobby and all the public spaces.
Wow.
And it's a huge logistical undertaking.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure. It's like cleaning out the Hawks Arena after a game. You wonder how they do it to be ready for a concert the next night.
Yeah.
Well, and thank goodness you're not doing the Christmas stuff at Halloween. Because that always just gets me.
We try to keep each holiday separate, so it's something that our guests look forward to as it transforms from one holiday to the next.
Well, without talking any more about chocolate and peppermint, are there any other desserts that the hotel specializes in at this time of the year?
Goodness. We have several. We have, there's a pumpkin pie creme brulee that's amazing. It comes out every year. Our chef does her version of a pecan pie, which is wonderful, really popular during the holidays. It's my personal favorite.
That's my favorite dessert, too, besides anything with chocolate and peppermint.
Holidays at my house, I don't care what other pies are on the table as long as there's pecan pie.
Okay, and Linda, we've talked all about wine with you. What about you? your food or dessert taste? Like, what do you love at the holidays?
During the holidays, I mean, if it's a really well-made cranberry sauce, I'm nuts about, like, a good cranberry sauce with the roasted turkey. But the peppermint chocolate, like, literally, he couldn't
even
fry
what they keep saying?
Out of my hands. Like, I adore these cookies.
We might be duking it out after this show.
Yeah, they're absolutely addictive.
Yeah.
Well, we're very excited to have you folks on the show today. And Ritz-Carlton Buckhead, great hotel, Peachtree Road, love working with you guys. And can you tell our listeners how we can find you on social media, website, all the details we need to know?
We are on Facebook. We also have the ritzcarlton.com website that lists all hotels, but each hotel has its own page. We have a separate section just for the holiday offerings that lists all of our different teas, our buffets, different schedule with Santa. Everything is on there as well.
And your Twitter handle, we think your company brand is the Twitter handle now, and we hashtag Buckhead.
That's right.
So it's at Ritz-Carlton.
Right.
Is that on Instagram as well or just on Twitter?
I don't believe it's on Instagram.
Okay. And just for our listening audience, you used to have your own Twitter handle.
We did, and that's something the company as a brand decided to have a single voice on Twitter.
Yeah.
Then each of the hotels will have different features on it. So
we absolutely love it.
Features recently.
We did notice that recently, and we were thrilled. They've been already retweeting and pointing out that you folks are going to be on the show today. So we really appreciate your support, and thank you again for being with us today. I'm sure we'll have some interaction as we get a little further into the show. And my next guest is Diedrich Thomas, and I'm going to say it again. It's Hideaki Bespoke. And Diedrich is a custom clothier and bespoke connoisseur. And I know I said that word correctly. Sommelier may get me off guard, but connoisseur does not. So I want to ask Diedrich, first of all, welcome again. And I'd love to know what your background is, because I know what you do now, right. But we'd love to know how you came into this.
Right. Well, my background is actually engineer. I'm an industrial engineer by trade. Graduated from Mississippi State University and moved to Atlanta in 98 and owned several different companies, one being an engineering company and the next being grocery stores in Mississippi, and then just migrated back to Atlanta around 2006 and you know, started the custom clothing business, which is Hideaki Bespoke, which I'm actually still involved with my engineering company as well. So that's basically my background, you know. So different trades, but just a connoisseur of many things.
Well, you took the I think the talent of running a business and learning the process probably to put that into your custom clothing, which, by the way, is absolutely gorgeous.
Thank you.
And we've had Diedrich at one of our recent events, and people were definitely fawning over the gorgeous men's suits and the custom leather bags, and
right.
I couldn't pry my husband away from one of those bags. So somewhere along the way, he might get a present. It is almost the holidays. Well, why don't you tell us about how the name came about, because I know a lot of folks ask, where does that name come from?
Right. Well, Hideaki is actually my middle name. My middle name is Hideaki Hajiwara. It's Japanese. I'm not Japanese, but it was a name that was given to me by my mother. My mother and my grandmother had some conflict over it, but but I decided to use it one day. So I took Hideaki, and Bespoke is actually what we do.
Mm-hmm.
So I put the two together, and hence the Hideaki Bespoke was born.
Well, I love it, and it's very prevalent in everything that Diedrich does. And having visited his showroom, even the furniture is custom, the mm-hmm. displays, the wardrobing, it's really beautiful. And every aspect of the name is integrated into the design of the showroom as well. So why don't we talk about exactly what you do?
Right.
Probably in greater detail, you can explain better than I the kind
right.
of clients you have and,
right.
and what people come to you looking for.
Well, you know, I never started this business to sell clothes. We're a lifestyle brand, so we cater to a lot of different clientele, entrepreneurs, doctors, dentists, lawyers, entertainers, celebrities, athletes. So we're across the board, and our primary focus is to sit down, talk to a client, understand what they're trying to do, and just enhance their lifestyle. We're not here to change it. We're here to enhance it and push them to limits they never knew existed, but that they're still comfortable with.
I'd love for you to explain the process.
Right.
So if somebody comes in and they want to order a custom suit,
right,
custom designed, right, how does the process go?
Right. Well, they, as far as the process, normally they come in for a consultation, and we sit down and we have a about a 50 to 70 step type of questionnaire that we go through to really understand what they're trying to do. So whether a client is coming in for a particular event, or whether a client's coming in to redo their entire wardrobe, we really understand that during the consultation process. And then once we go through the consultation process, we actually then proceed to designing the garments, you know, selecting the fabrics, you know, looking at the fit. You know, what we do, it goes beyond just picking out a piece of fabric. You know, we have to think about how that's going to present the client, how, you know, when they walk, how it's going to drape on them, the design down to the lapels, to the stitching, to, you know, we have options where they can actually name their suit, you know. So it's all in the details. I mean, you pick out every stitch, every component of your garment. And after that process, we take them through a 50-step measurement process. And once we go through that process, we actually design a try-on garment for them. And that comes in about 3 weeks. We go through that process to make sure everything is going to be pretty much 99.9%, you know, accurate. And then we go to production with their finished garment. And that's the process for actually clothing. If they're, you know, selecting or designing shoes, if they're selecting or designing furniture or leather goods or whatever the case may be, you know, it's a little different process. But in all, that's basically the process.
And again, I know that with the custom shoes and bags, mm-hmm, you can actually choose the leather.
Absolutely. You can choose from over, you know, 100 different colors, 5 different soles, you know, 10 types of stitching, burnishing, no burnishing. I mean, you can pretty much create, you know, it's a paradise. So you can pretty much create what you want to create. You know, we just make dreams come true.
I love it. I love it.
You know?
And branding is one of the things that we're talking about today. You know, Ritz-Carlton obviously is a very, mm-hmm, strong brand.
Absolutely.
Worldwide, and they do a lot local in the community. We love the brand locally here in Buckhead. And you and our additional guests, all of you are very strong in branding, and that's very important. Honestly, didn't know about you until,
right,
about a year ago,
right,
and I love what you've done, you know, really integrating yourself into the community.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of things do you do, you know, in terms of the community? I know you have some nonprofit endeavors going on.
Right, right. Well, that's one of the things that we are actively working on right now as far as our Suited for Life program. And basically that's a program that we're going to work with kids. You know, All Stars Young. And we're going to be working with kids at an elementary level, you know, through high school, through college, and really teaching them that, you know, looking the part is one of the keys to success in life. And, you know, if you start them early, they'll understand it and they'll get it. And so that's one of the things that we're going to do to empower kids coming out of school. So whatever career they select, whether it's, you know, a business career, athletic career, whatever career they select, still looking the part is one of the keys to success. And we've done some of that with some of our clients. You know, we appeared on the Steve Harvey Show where we assisted with some makeovers and things of that nature. So we're going to continue that process over the next 2-3 years as well.
I love it. You'll have to definitely keep us in the loop on that. And I guess it makes sense. The first impression does make a huge difference.
Absolutely.
What other things can you tell us about expansion or growth or, you know, things you're looking at for the future?
Right. Well, we have some amazing plans. One, primarily, you know, this company, Hadiaki Bespoke, is definitely a image type of company, but it's also a lifestyle company. So one thing that we're looking at doing is expanding our studio in Buckhead to about 5,000 square feet, where we're going to have a private members-only area. And it's going to have cigar rooms, wine cellars, wine cellars with private lockers, massage rooms, you know, video conferencing. It's going to cater to a lifestyle. And we're still going to have our studio area as well, but that would be the private lounge. So, you know, here in Buckhead, here in Atlanta, you have pockets of that, but we're going to bring it all into one.
I love that idea. And right. Yes, you two definitely need to talk. Mm-hmm. He might need a consultant.
Right. Yes.
Can you tell us, Diedrich, what is your view on today's fashion? What do you see? Because I mean, I know personally we go to a lot of events and a lot of sporting events or, you know, charity events. And I feel like we see everything from people in jeans and button-down shirts that are not tucked in to women in full-length gowns
right.
and men in, you know, whatever they feel like wearing. And what do you see as a trend or what do you feel is the best way to go? I mean, how can you not miss when you have an event to be at?
Well, you know, honestly, we look at fashion from a standpoint of understanding what's going on with trends and things of that nature for our clients. But the core of our company and what we present to our clients and what we bring them into understanding is that they create their own style. So we don't really take trend and instill in them. We really understand who they are. And because our company was built on designing garments with a traditional feel, but with a modern twist. You know, and these are pieces that you could have worn 50 years ago and that you can wear 50 years from now. So we don't create orphans in your closet.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes when it comes to trends, we really just take it from a knowledge standpoint. But, you know, fashion is what you create, and that's what we do.
I love that you are very focused on the traditional. As I said, I've seen what Diedrich right. does, and it's very timeless, very classic.
Absolutely.
And I know for me personally, you know, a man in a nice suit definitely makes your head turn.
Right.
So I'm definitely a proponent of this. And as I said, I've seen these garments absolutely stunning and catered to anybody's taste. And because it's custom, it could fit anybody's lifestyle. Diedrich, anything else that you'd like to tell our audience about? I know that we want to talk about how our audience can find you,
right.
see you online,
right.
see you in social media.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, we have, you can contact, we're by appointment only, and you can contact us through our website, hadiakibespoke.com, or you can view our Instagram or either, you know, our social media, other social media avenues as far as Facebook and Twitter as well.
And your Twitter handle is?
It's Hadi. Everything's synchronized. It's
Hadiaki Bespoke.
So okay. It's kind of like the Ritz-Carlton, you know?
Terrific. It's all about branding. That's about branding
today.
You
know, birds of a feather flock together, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. We have a really high fashion crew here today. Thank you so much, Diedrich.
Thank you.
And we'll definitely discuss some of this branding stuff at the end of the show. I think it'll be great to see all you folks and hear your take on that. My next guest is Rusha Brown. And my husband and I were fortunate to meet Rusha through the Atlanta Hawks, through our membership at Atlanta Hawks. And she and her brother embarked on a wonderful endeavor this year with a partner called YBE. And Rusha, would you be so kind as to tell our audience what YBE stands for?
Absolutely. YBE stands for Young Black Entrepreneur, and it's a magazine focused on the educational platform for those that have the entrepreneurial spirit and want to advance themselves and do something different and just try and avoid some of the pitfalls from not having the knowledge.
Absolutely love it. And we've had this magazine advertised in our magazine because of our friendship. And what kind of stories and material are you covering in the magazine?
Absolutely. First, I want to say thank you because you guys were very instrumental in us moving forward with this process. Just the time that we met you guys at the Atlanta Hawks event and having my brother there, I know it was something that we were destined to do just because the appointment of us being at the same table at the same time just really, really influenced him heavily, and you were very instrumental. So thank you for your kindness and
You're
your
welcome.
Ability to be a leader and help him.
You're welcome. No coincidences in life.
Oh,
I've always said
not.
That.
Absolutely not. But as far as YBE, we make sure that we interview people that have done great things and talk about the pitfalls, talk about the hardships, talk about the great things that happen so that those that are coming behind, we want to pass on an amount of education to that next generation of entrepreneurs. So it's really about just providing an educational platform so everybody can be in a better situation.
I think you and Diedrich are in the same
Absolutely.
Court here.
Mm-hmm.
He's a prime example. When I met Diedrich, I was really impressed with his story.
I've already taken some notes on him that I have to
talk
to him.
Terrific. As I said, I knew this was going to be a great group of folks. And, you know, being an entrepreneur in Atlanta, I've said this before on the show, but it's such an entrepreneur-friendly city,
Absolutely.
Which is what has been the one thing for me that has blown us away from the beginning of our journey. In less than 5 years to accomplish what we've accomplished, I don't know that it would have been possible in every other city because there's so many of us who are not natives, as mm-hmm. we like to call it,
Absolutely.
And have come from elsewhere and kind of learned the ropes here in Atlanta and made it happen. Diedrich, you can probably attest to the same thing.
Right, absolutely.
Rusha, you also have something else. We're going to come back to YBE, but another of your titles is that you are the Women's Professional Basketball Alumni Founder and President. And Rusha has played professional basketball for 17 years, years in the WNBA and 10 in Europe. And since her retirement, Rusha has spent quality time in the community and, as I said, is now the president and founder of this organization. I'd love it if you'd tell the audience what the organization is and what you do.
Okay. The Women's Professional Basketball Alumni is an organization that is focused on assisting in the transition from being a professional athlete into mainstream society. One of the things we focus on is just really developing the traits that a woman has after she leaves the game, because so many times we get caught up in the stigma of being an athlete. And myself, even speaking, you know, basketball is what I did. It's not who I am. And so it's really hard to take yourself out of that box because people tend to see you as a professional athlete. And when I transitioned, it was very difficult for me because I didn't know how to market myself to mainstream America, because when I walk into a room and it was like, oh, she played in the WNBA, she's a basketball player. But I spoke four different languages. I've lived in Europe for 10 years. I've had exposure to so many different things, and just trying to figure out how to, you know, maneuver within the mainstream society to take advantage of the traits that I've developed was something that was difficult. And having these conversations with women that I've played with, it was something across the board. And even the men, that the friends that I have that have played in the NBA and the NFL, you know, those stories are told all the time, but our story is a little different because we don't make $100 million. So we have to make some decisions just a little bit quicker.
Sorry, gentlemen, girl power in the room, okay? It's our favorite part, strong females also. So, yes, you're right. We've heard these stories about the men all the time, not knowing what they're going to do after. And, you know, everyone does assume, yes, they're an athlete. So I really appreciate that you do this for women. And what kind of things do you do in terms of the integration you're training them on, you know, financial responsibility, how to segue into maybe a mainstream career or some sort of a career path, maybe using their basketball skill into a communications or PR kind of a format?
One of the best stats that I've been able to find is that 96% of female execs have played sport at some level. Because when you've played a sport, you develop a certain attitude about things. You're not easily shaken. You're capable of doing things on a time limit. You're disciplined, and you have all these different characteristics that transition into the business world. So one of the things that we focus on is making connections with various corporations that are interested in maybe putting an athlete in a training position, a managerial training position, as opposed to having to start from the bottom up. You know, like, you've already had these life experiences that make you a better candidate. And so we want to make sure that we have those opportunities. We also focus on higher education. Like, just this summer, I received my executive master's of business at George Washington University through a program that was focused on athletes. I was in a room full of 25 NFL players, four of which are current players. So it's just really something that is an opportunity that you have to capitalize on all of the strengths that you develop as an athlete. So we do job placement, higher education, and philanthropic relevance. So a lot of times when you're playing, you have a nonprofit organization. And then when you stop playing, you kind of drop off because you have the team that is there, the league is always promoting you. And then you have to figure out how to do all those things yourself. So we come alongside the athlete and help them with their relevance, make sure everything is running properly, and make sure they're in the community doing the things that need to be done. And it's very important for us to get back in the community and make sure that the young ladies that are coming up in the sport that we've loved and that we've dedicated so much time to are properly equipped to transition from middle school to high school to college to the pros. And we know that professional sports is the shortest career that you can have.
Absolutely. You have to be thinking about the future.
You absolutely have to be thinking about the future. So we definitely want to make sure that we prepare these young ladies. And our 2015 initiative is called Play Like a Girl. So we're just really excited about the different things that we'll be able to do with the young women, about embracing the fact that you're a young lady. You play really hard on the court, but when you walk off the court, I need you to look a certain way and understand your brand, like so much has been talked about, because, you know, it's very important.
I want to ask one question about that. Most of the women that you're dealing with, are they coming from having a college degree already when they go into the WNBA, or like the men, do they come out early, or do they not allow that?
You know, that's one of the great things about the WNBA. You have to have passed your 4 years of eligibility before you can come into the league. Wow. So whether you've gotten your degree or not, you're very close. So about 82% of the women that transition and play in the WNBA already have their degree. So if there's anything, we can make, maybe help you finish with those last few credits. But, you know, at an academic advantage, you know, we definitely have it.
So why is there that double standard where the guys are allowed to come out when they're, you know, high school seniors?
You know, it's about money. You know, everything in our world is primarily about the dollar bill, and there's such a higher standard as far as the men and the amount of money that they make versus the women. But it actually benefits us later on. So
I agree. So I agree. It's a little more forward thinking and future thinking.
Absolutely.
And I think that's you've hit it on the head that people get so tuned into the financial part of it, they forget about the fact that after 30-something, they've got to look at a career.
What's
or
next?
What are they going to do for the rest of their life?
Absolutely.
Unless they want to spend that money too quickly.
Which often happens.
So we know a little bit about the YBE, and how did the concept come about? It must have been something that was being mulled over for a while.
You know, my brother has a very artistic mind, and he's always thinking of something that's going to benefit the culture that he's surrounded in. And he, just a lot of times, he's had an entrepreneurial spirit from a very young kid when he sold frozen chili bears out of our fridge at my mom's house, you know, like just always thinking of something, a way to make money. And throughout his life, he was always trying to figure out, he didn't want to work for anyone, how does he do this? But there were so many ways he would bump his head and not figure out, okay, well, I can't do this. And he's got friends that has been in the very same position. So he's always just tried to figure out a way how to cut out some of those instances. And so he was just thinking, you know, we really need to provide a platform for people who want to do the things that we're doing in whatever genre, so that you can have a straighter road as opposed to all the nicks and cuts that normally happen.
Who have you covered in the magazine so far? Because I've seen some of the material online, obviously, mm-hmm. and there's been some great stories already. Mm-hmm. Can you tell our audience about some of the folks we've covered so far?
Absolutely. There's been Drez the Beatnik. He's an entertainer here. And we have Kerman Middleton, who's an artist. My brother, of course, myself. Johnny Clarkson, who is, and I keep saying my brother like you guys
yeah.
know who that
yeah.
is. His name is Okiba Jabalo. He's an artist. He's graphic design. He's every type of art that's imaginable. He's been incredible here in the Atlanta scene, and he has so many connections, and he wants to make sure he gets everybody an opportunity to be successful. So we've just had a great opportunity, and this one in January is going to be even more exciting because, you know, like the first one, you know, people are excited about it, but now they see what it is and what the purpose of it is. So we have some great people that will be involved, and I keep coming back to thank you for your inspiration as you helped my brother.
You're welcome. I thought I was crazy 5 years ago, and how was I ever going to pull this off?
And look at you now.
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. it's kind of funny. I laugh. I'm just a girl from a postage stamp state working in a big city in Atlanta. So it's a lot of fun, and we've enjoyed every moment of it. And with YBE, is the magazine available in print, online, both? Can you tell us the frequency?
Mm-hmm. It's a quarterly magazine, a quarterly publication. So you can get it in print, and you would have to order it and get your subscription. And you'd go to www.noblesoul.net. And Noble Soul is spelled NobleSoul.net. Mm. And you can also see it online. So you can go to noblesoul.net. And view it online as well. But
do you charge for the online version, or is that free to the public? Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Just like us. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I guess we were a good role model.
Absolutely.
So what else is in store for, let's ask first about YBE, what's in store for 2015?
Well, for 2015, we have a great group of people that we'll be interviewing and actually even moving into a system where we'll follow some people around and get some actual the day in the life of, so they can get the coverage, because it's also a way to advertise the great things that people are doing.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, like a lot of times you have a great opportunity, but nobody sees it. So we want to recognize some of the people that are doing great things and doing it well in our communities.
You definitely studied me well, because we're all about finding those hidden under
Absolutely.
The radar gems.
Absolutely.
And looking for the things that other publications may not feel are big enough, but in our minds, they're super big.
Very important.
So yes, we love that. And what about the WPBA? What else is going on in 2015?
Well, with the 2015 initiative I mentioned earlier, the Play Like a Girl, we'll have camps in 25 cities where we'll go in, and middle and high school young ladies will be trained by the women who've played at the top of the game. We'll have 4 hours on the court, but we have 4 hours in the classroom where we focus on financial literacy. We talk about your brand. We talk about SAT and ACT testing, NCAA compliance, and just how to make sure that you are who a college wants to invest in, and then a business thereafter, you know, to make sure that you're doing the things that you need to do. And we'll also be going to four different countries because
wow.
the women that are a part of our membership, you know, I played in five different countries, but we've had access all over the world.
So tell our audience which countries you played in and what languages you speak.
Okay, I played in Spain, France, Italy, Greece, and Korea. I speak
wow.
Spanish, Italian, some French, English, Ebonics, and
not at all.
And then, you know, like one of the things that is really important is the fact that we just want to provide as much exposure, because I believe that's the key for our youth. Make sure they're exposed to as much as possible. And when you mentioned the Suited for Life, we have a program where we do is called Fitness to Fashion, and we just talked about the complete holistic view of the young women. But my brother is interested in doing something for the young men as well. So that would be an awesome opportunity.
Wow. That's what Simply Buckhead's all about.
Absolutely.
We connect people that need to meet each other, and it sometimes just happens on its own very organically. So we love it. Already
Absolutely.
A great connection here in the room. Rusha, could you tell our listeners how they can find you, the WPBA, YBE. I know you personally are on Twitter. Any other websites or email or Twitter and Instagram handles that we should be looking out for both endeavors, also mm-hmm. for Okiba?
Okay. And for YBE, our Facebook is just YBE. You can go and find that. For Twitter, it's YB Entrepre, ENTREPRE. YBENTREPRE. And for Twitter, for the WPBA, is at WPBAA. And on Facebook, it's the Women's Professional Basketball Alumni.
Fantastic. And how about you? Do
oh,
you,
me
do you want people following you on Twitter?
Absolutely. Yeah. For me,
we encourage that here.
My Instagram and my Twitter are both Rusha B, R-U-S-H-I-A-B, and my Facebook is Rusha Brown.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate you being here
me.
Today. It's been a lot of fun, and I'm glad to see all the great networking going on. And we're definitely talking about branding when we're done here. Our final guest today is Ashley Harris. And again, the whole 6 degrees of separation thing, I've always said in Atlanta, it's never more than two. And Ashley's a prime example of that. We had Jamie Bodner from Pinnacle Fitness on our show a few weeks back. And Ashley and I actually met each other because of Pinnacle Fitness. We met each other at the gym.
Thank you, Jamie.
Yeah, thank you, Jamie. A lot of great connections have gone on because of Pinnacle Fitness. So thank you, Jamie. Shout out to you twice today. As we mentioned before, Ashley is the owner, entrepreneur, founder, everything, title, gopher, you know, head chief bottle washer. That's what we do as entrepreneurs,
right?
Right. And Bark Fifth Avenue is her business, and it's an online luxury dog boutique. And we're going to talk about that, but I also want to talk about Ashley's background a little bit, because there's, of course, a progression of how she got into this business. Ashley's a Florida native and a successful fashion model since she's 4. And she's been making headlines with her new business venture. And shout out, little secret here, she is featured in our upcoming issue, our Kids and Pets issue, in January, February.
I'll be picking it up.
Yes, yes. We will be out, remember, in 250 locations with 24,000 copies.
Wow.
So Ashley is the CEO, and her strong passion for fashion, as well as her passion for dogs, helped her create a world where upscale pet owners can treat their four-legged family members to only the best in fashion, travel, and accessories. She's been walking runways and dressing up animals, and it's something she's been doing since childhood. She's also a fashion model currently with Click Models, as we mentioned before. So, Ashley, what was the reason you started this particular company?
Absolutely. And again, thank you so much for having me on. I'm very excited to be here. The number one reason, really, I started Bark Fifth Avenue, again, like you mentioned, fashion and animals has something that has been my passion for a really long time, since I was a little kid. And going out in the commercial market, like, not to mention big stores, they didn't have very many unique brands, unique items, unique products. Everything was just kind of poor quality that... You know, I had a Great Dane one time. The dog chewed up everything. So the quality was, you know, not so great. But the existing products I saw lacked the uniqueness. And when I imagined putting fashion and my love for dogs, especially, together, I just thought, you know, why not have something that comes together, and you have like your haute couture doggy items, accessories, clothing, you name it.
So what are your pets' names, and do you have dogs?
Yikes. Now, that's been the big rumor since I've had the business. And actually, I don't have a dog. I know.
What?
I know. Well, it's this one.
We'll have to fix that.
This one behind me. My fiance and I travel a lot. And I've actually talked him into getting a new pet in February. His name is appropriately Phipps. Okay. So Phipps, we will be introducing Phipps to the Bark Fifth Ave family in February.
Is Phipps one of those dogs that can travel in your pocketbook?
Absolutely.
Chihuahua or something
you
else?
Got it. Oh, it's going to be right. A Chihuahua.
Good guess.
Yep. Excellent. Yep. So we're going to be looking out for Phipps's photos on Ashley's website.
Absolutely.
Soon.
You'll see that everywhere.
So how do you pick these clothing items? Do you travel and pick out materials and pick out manufacturers? And how does this all come together? There's obviously got to be a huge process here.
Right. Actually, it depends on the specific product. I travel to some of the bigger designer shows in L.A. Las Vegas was the last one I was just at. I think it was the pet zoo out in Las Vegas, which was interesting. But there are primarily five or six vendors that I work with. They're in L.A., Vegas. There's one in Milan, which is amazing.
There's some couture.
There is some couture there. Actually, in the doggy fashion world is a lot more popular there than here, but I'm trying to change that. Mm-hmm. And there's one particular vendor that I use in LA who he and I are exactly on the same page as far as what we think pet fashion should be. So I see him I check in weekly with all of my vendors and just kind of see what's trending at the moment, what is, for the season, what season we're in right now. It's we're actually looking for spring.
Well, what kind of clothes are trending right now? Because I know with fashion, they're always looking at one or two seasons down the line. But
of course.
It's almost, I hate to say it, because it never gets wintertime here, which is fine with me. But what's in right now? Like, what's great for your pets right now?
Well, right now I've got a few things. There is it's a warming mat that I offer for dogs and even big dogs. I get a lot of questions. Well, you only, do you just primarily go for the smaller dogs? No, we have things up to, again, Great Dane size, and it's a warming blanket. So if your dog's cold, you can get the small one, put it in his crate, or the big blanket, and it keeps your dog warm. And in the summer, it keeps your dog cool. Some of the other things, of course, are the sweaters, the sweater vests. We've got lots of those. And one of my favorites are the little sock. Yes, dogs can wear socks, and they're little Buddha socks, and they keep your dog's feet warm. So when they go outside, it's not going to be frozen. Very cute.
What happens, though, when they go outside and they start digging in the dirt?
Well, we don't want to let them go dig in the dirt. No. Well, if they're going
but
outside, that's true.
So where are you from, Ashley? Are you from here originally?
Nope. Again, Tampa, Florida. Clearwater Beach is where I am from. And my fiance and I we bought our first home here in Buckhead in February. So we're excited to be here.
And tell us what your favorite product or outfits are that you sell in your line.
Of course. I do have a lot of favorite products. My favorite is the classic Coco, the classic Coco dress. It is definitely a staple. It's a beautiful dress. And, of course, the spa products, those are my favorite, too, which include nail polish, essential calming oils. Yes, calming oils.
Wow, I thought you were going to say shampoo.
Well, no.
Dog wash.
I do carry gentle eye pads and actually little pads for the paws and for the nose. It's kind of like a moisturizing. Dogs got to have spa products, yes. Too.
Wow, I guess so.
Pampered paws.
Yeah, exactly.
Are there actual pet spas in Buckhead?
There are. There are actually a lot of groomers. Groomers, yes.
Okay, but nothing that's doing spa. That sounds like something you might want to get into a little bit later on, right?
I think so.
What's more challenging, modeling or being your own CEO of your own company?
That's a tough one. Of course, starting a business is for sure challenging. But if I'm very, very thankful for being able to have an opportunity to start this business. But always having to kind of be on and be ready to go at last minute is definitely tough. It's rough as well. So I think they're both really rewarding. And again, I'm just really thankful for all the experiences that I've had in modeling and with BARC Fifth Ave.
Well, we have one more question for you. Do you have a pugly Christmas sweater?
What is a pugly? Oh, I get it. I get it. That's a good one.
Instead of the ugly Christmas sweater parties that people are hosting, mm-hmm. and I'm seeing like zillions of commercials about, how about for the dogs? Are there some pugly sweaters that they should come together with and see who's got the worst one?
You know, that's a really good idea. And actually, I'll look into that this week. And I guarantee you, I will put something on the website and on social media. Maybe we'll have a contest. See who's the ugliest dog sweater contest and see what we can do.
I think you've gotten some great business ideas here in this particular segment. This is a good crew to be feeding off each other.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, why don't you tell our listeners all of the different links and social media and platforms that they can find you on, as well as your websites?
Absolutely. The website itself for BARC Fifth Ave is www.barcfifthave.com. And today, for your listeners, I will offer free shipping with the promo code.
Right.
Yes. With promo code Simply
Shameless
Buckhead.
Self-promotion. We love it.
Free shipping.
Free shipping on Simply Buckhead if you just put that promo code at checkout. Again, that's www.barcfifthave.com. On Twitter, I can be found at BARC Fifth Ave. And Facebook and Instagram is also BARC Fifth Ave. And that's F-I-F-T-H.
Yes, I was going to say it's not the number five. There is actually someone else who has a handle with the number five. It's spelled out F-I-F-T-H. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Ashley, for educating our audience on pet couture. Diedrich on haute couture for men.
That was kind of one of my questions, Joanne, would be if I go to Diedrich and get him to design a nice fashionable suit for me and then come see you and get my dog outfitted, we could walk the streets looking pretty debonair, couldn't we?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Luxury is representing an every aspect of your lifestyle.
Humans and canines.
Humans and canines, and that's what we're all about today, an upscale lifestyle. We love what's going on in Buckhead, a lot of growth, a lot of exciting new stores and businesses opening up, restaurants, and it's awesome to have so much branding going on in this particular market. And I think you all represent this so well. Again, I appreciate everybody being here today. The branding aspect of your businesses, Ritz-Carlton is one of the tops, in my opinion, in terms of their consistent branding and quality of service and product, and we really appreciate them, as well as Diedrich Thomas from Hideaki Bespoke. I can't believe I keep saying it right. Rusha Brown from the WPBA, as well as YBE, and Ashley from BARC Fifth Avenue. I'm very much looking forward to all of you networking. Any questions for anybody in between here? A lot of writing going on. Anybody want to ask anyone on air something in particular? No, silence.
I have a few questions, Joanne,
please,
if you don't mind.
Go right ahead.
Starting with you, Linda, your information and your wine expertise is tremendous. And I would like to know, what is your favorite wine particularly?
I get asked that question all the time, and I really don't have a standard answer. It depends on the season. It depends on what time of day it is, because I do drink in the morning.
So your favorite wine is whatever in front of you at that time.
And it depends on what I'm eating.
Okay. I want to know what you drink in the morning.
Yeah.
I do. I have a lot of blind tasting groups that I'm involved with in the city for educational purposes. So there's a lot of
educational.
Right, of course, educational purposes. There's a lot of AM drinking that goes on in my world, so...
Kind of also wondering along the same lines, any local wines or local vineyards you guys promote over there?
We have Wolf Mountain Vineyards. Their sparkling is on our list. It's been on our list since I've been there. Their Blanc de Blanc sparkling is delicious and local. So
that's good. I'll have to try that out for sure. And Diedrich, for you, sir, your fashion is impeccable as always, and you could teach me a thing or two. I'm a blue collar guy. I don't even own a suit, so you'd be the first guy I come to.
Right.
But from that perspective, from a male's perspective, this time of year, what are some do's and particularly some don'ts when it comes to fashion this time of year?
Right. Well, just to touch on your point, it doesn't have to be a suit. We cater to your lifestyle. So
that's right.
However your lifestyle is, we'll make sure that, you know, it's represented in the right way. I mean, I like I said, from a fashion standpoint, there's no do's and don'ts. It's just what you feel comfortable in, you know. So,
and you'll help me feel more comfortable in choosing those clothing, whatever it may be, a worker's outfit or a high-end suit.
Absolutely. So the button-down shirt and the jeans are okay for attending events. And as I said, we see everything, an entire broad spectrum, every event we go to.
We can do that.
Okay, well, great, because I know there's a lot of listeners out there who don't always wear a suit to work, but certainly would like some professional advice on what they could be wearing to their office.
Right. We can take you from just walking down the street to the boardroom and everything in between.
Okay. Yeah, I love that.
Ryan,
good to
any
have
more
you
questions?
No, that's it for me. I appreciate it.
Well, terrific. Thanks, everybody, for a great show. And, again, appreciate your time. We know it's a busy time of year. And happy holidays to all. And anything exciting for 2015 we should know about? What's everybody's goals for 2015?
Drink a lot of wine.
Of course.
We knew that was coming. Jason, anything special for 2015?
It's all special for Ritz-Carlton. We're looking ahead right now to Valentine's Day. We're putting together a 14 days of chocolate celebration to kick off the month of February. And then we'll be looking down the road into Easter and Mother's Day as well.
Wow. Well, you know what? I love your philosophy. Every day is special. How about you?
Just to continue to enhance lifestyles. You know, the only difference between knowing and not knowing about what we do is exposure. So once you're exposed to luxury, you know, then once you get a taste of it, you know, it's kind of one of those things that stay with you for your life.
Absolutely. Rusha, anything special for 2015?
I just say primarily with the initiative that we have going and our international presence, just making sure that we're...
I love it. Can I still weigh in your suitcase when you go overseas?
Absolutely.
Because I still have the travel bug. How about you, Ashley? Anything exciting for 2015? Goals, excitement, first year of business is always the toughest.
For sure. Actually, it's going to be the second year of business. Mm-hmm. And 2015 is going to be hopefully a very prosperous and fashionable 2015, as the goal is to have a brick and mortar here in Buckhead. So I will have a boutique where clients can come in with their pet. And
I think you should have a spa at that business, too.
We're working on that. Trust me.
Okay. Well, keep us in the loop, everybody. And thanks again for a great show. And we'll be back here again next week.